My name is Regina Vie, and I'm talking about the Nell Hosbrook House. It's up by the fire station. It's 7211 Miami Avenue. The current use, I think, is a home. The building was built in 1888, and it was built by her father, who was John A. Hosbrook, and his wife, and they lived there, and she was their only child. Actually, she was a twin. She had a twin sister, but her twin only lived a day, and then she lived to be either 96 or 97, and she never married, so she lived in that house her whole life. It's important to history because the Hosbrook was the first family in Madeira. They are Madeira's history. The Hosbrooks started the whole thing. And anyhow, they built a lot of the houses around Madeira. They built the fire station, the house where the fire station is. That was a home, and it was built for $750. Miss Hosbrooks told me about her uncle built that house. It cost $750 when it was built. And it was a very beautiful house. Miss Nell was, she grew into be a legend. When I moved here, she was already old. I never met her. I wished I did. She was a little bit intimidating. She wasn't even 5 feet tall, but she was intimidating. I would see her on the street. I had a nine-month-old baby and a little boy, and I loved to walk. And we moved here, and every morning I was a walker. I put the baby in his stroller. We'd go out for our walk, and it wasn't just a little walk. We'd walk all over the Madeira. My kids loved it, and I loved it. The thing is, we'd cause attention wherever we went. For one thing, we were new in town, and everybody would know when you were new in town. Back then, they did. You just made a splash if you were new. Everybody found out right away that you moved in, and who you were, and all about you. Everybody we'd meet, they'd either pat the baby on the head, or they would want to stop and talk. And we would go up and down the streets, and my other little son, he was a little shy, but the baby was all, he's still very outgoing, and he would smile at everybody, so he was very popular. So we got to know a lot of people that way. But the one person I did not get to know was Miss Nell Hosbrook. Right away, I knew their stories there, and I wanted to know who she was. I wanted her to notice me, but she didn't. I'd meet her in the street. She would never look at me and my two beautiful children. She'd just walk right on. She'd look straight ahead or she'd look at the ground. She didn't look at me. She didn't pay attention to me. She didn't say hello. She didn't smile. She didn't do anything. So I started asking people about her, and they said, don't take it personally. She's just getting very old. She sometimes she talks to herself when she's out in the street. Well, she did. I would hear her talking to herself. And she doesn't pay any attention to anybody. Another thing she didn't pay attention to, she didn't pay attention to the traffic lights. I would stop with my children, and she'd just keep going. And cars would stop for her. I guess everybody knew her and stopped traffic. I didn't stop traffic. I stopped with my children for traffic. Anyway, I never met her, and I knew all the stories that floated around. I'd heard she was a music teacher. She was supposed to be the first librarian. She'd had a little library in a back room that in a building that's still here. It's the shoe repair shop down on Laurel Avenue. I don't think she was the official first librarian. I think I've read that somebody else was hired. But she just set up her own library. I think she took this little building, this little room, and nobody was using it. She took her own books and any books she could gather together, and she thought this town needs a library, and she started one, and she'd stay there all day, and people would come in, and she'd lend them books, and they'd bring them back, and she'd lend them another book. So she was the town's first librarian. I heard about, she taught music. She was all the Hosbrooks that I ever have read or heard about were musicians. I think everybody in town was a musician. In those days, you didn't have cable TV. In those days, they didn't even have radio, and they made their own entertainment. So I heard all the stories, and then one day I read in the paper that she had died, and I had this little clipping, and my feeling was about me. I thought, oh, you dummy, you, she's died, and you never did get to meet her, and you don't know anything about her. And so I started calling people and asking about them. One of them was Mrs. Elizabeth Miller. She told me a lot about her. She had lived across the street from her all those years, and she told me about her wildflowers. And I would see Miss Nell. She never let a scrap piece of paper fall in those woods. She had a long stick with a nail on the end of it. She'd go out in the morning. I would see her when I'd walk, and she would be walking in those woods with this long stick. It was taller than she was, and she'd go around with it. She spotted a little scrap of paper. She'd go spear it with that stick and take it with her, and she cleaned up the woods every morning. She also cleaned up the streets around her house. The city should have had her on the payroll because she cleaned up the street every morning around her house. And when she'd do this, there was a cat that would be following her. The cat would be at her heels like a dog. It'd be 3 or 4 feet behind her. It made every step she made, and it would go with her. She'd have a stick in one hand, and she would have a teacup in the other, and she'd be drinking something from the cup. So I asked the neighbors what it was she drank in the cup when she picked up the paper, and they said, oh, it's tea. She, if you ever get inside her house, she'll offer you a cup of tea. She's always got tea, and she never goes anywhere without a teacup in her hand. So those were the stories I dug up after she died.